The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good evening. Welcome back to Monday Night Roundtable, second hour. We're going to be having Tom Rentz, a great attorney here in the state of Ohio, who also spoke at the event Thursday night where Jack Windsor spoke in Tiffin, Ohio, beautiful Tiffin, Ohio. We were at the fairgrounds, about 250 people.
Darkened fairgrounds,
yeah.
Meeting in secret.
Well, we weren't meeting in secret. Steve, I don't think much goes on in late November at the fairgrounds, even in good times. So one of the buildings was rented. We had a good crowd of people asking great questions, enthusiastic, amped up.
About 250 people.
Yeah, we're looking. We got some great information on the illegality, the unconstitutionality of the various edicts that are coming down. And we're gonna flesh that out more in the next couple of weeks. There's some restaurant owners who are very vociferous in protecting their rights, their businesses' rights, the rights of their employees. And we made some calls today, but the restaurant was closed just because it's Monday. And I should have some more information next Monday. But people need to stand up and fight. People just can't be chasing filthy lucre constantly. I have a family restaurant that I go to. They've been in business since 1948. The business, great location, great business, probably paid for, you know, since 1960, third, fourth generation, making, as far as I could tell, boatloads of money, probably less with COVID. But they will not stand up and fight. They put a sign on the door, mask must be worn. And I told them, well, you're violating the law. That's not what the law or the edict is. Anyhow, if you want to even take that route, the edict is masks must be worn. But by the way, there's 15 different exemptions, and they're not honoring any of those because they're just scared witless that they'll be closed down. And that's why I want to have these people that have the restaurants in Canton who made some very good presentations, good information, and I'd like to, you know, get it written down so I understand it better. And maybe Tom Rentz could talk about that in a few minutes. He's called in, but we're going to take his call in a few minutes. Our number here is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number. It's also free on your cell phone. I keep getting calls saying, why don't you give out the local number? Local number is not necessary. It rings at the same place. It's free. It's a toll-free number. In no sense getting confused on, you know, multiple numbers. It's 888-677-9673. Steve, do you have a little bit of background information on Tom Rentz? Anything you want to read or mention about him?
Well, just that every time I hear him, he says, I never thought I would be up in front of a group of people like this. And you know, when him and Jack both asked who of you ever heard of me before March of this year,
right,
Nobody raises their hands. But now Tom's asked to speak at multiple events because his depth of knowledge of the law and standing up for what's right is endearing him to the to what I believe is patriotic Americana,
patriot community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the sad thing is he said, look, there's possibly a half a dozen attorneys in the state of Ohio out of a population of 11 million who will pick up the gauntlet, fight the good fight. And like he said, you know, he's billing out a little bit of time, but whether he collects some money, yes, no, maybe, but he's doing it because it's the right thing to do.
And I think that's a very important point, because both of you and I have had our run-ins with the law before, and finding a good attorney or an ethical attorney or an attorney that actually has morals and values and is willing to stand up and do that is quite difficult. And I don't know how many attorneys there are in Ohio, but to have a
too many. Sorry about that, Tom.
But anyways, Tom, are you there?
Sir, I am, and boy, you guys are making me sound awful special here.
Well, you are. You are very special because, you know, and I speak from personal experience. I've known a lot of attorneys, some I very much admire and respect, and some not so much. And you're one of those guys that is in the first category, and we really appreciate what you're doing. You're giving hope to the hopeless, because some of us out here, and I want you to really understand where the listeners are come from, a lot of the people that I talk to, they're getting hopeless. They think that, you know, Governor DeWine says it, that's it, and we have to kowtow to it, or that the election's over and that's it. And, you know, one of the things that George, when I first met him a number of years ago, we talked about a friend of ours, a mutual friend, who says if we lose the judiciary and we lose the electoral process, in other words, if we lose our faith in the judiciary and if we lose our faith, and I'm talking about as an American, as a country, it's over. And severely threatened has been our judiciary and the two-tier justice system. And now the electoral system. So it's refreshing to have you, Tom. And please tell us what's going on, what lawsuits you're working on, and give our listeners some hope if you can.
Tom, before you answer that question, can you tell us how much time you can give to us? I know your time is valuable, and I know you're always burning the midnight oil to get through into the wee hours of the morning. Are you good for 15 minutes, 20, 30? Give us a little time frame so we could pace our questions.
So I probably have till about 10 to 9.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Perfect.
I can give you till then.
Great, perfect.
Around there, maybe 8:45. But, and yeah, I am. And part of the reason that I'm so busy is because it's not hopeless, okay? Everybody heard about our first suit, but we are by no means done. By no means. And I want to tell you guys, there's hope. There is, mostly because you got a few people, me and some people I'm working with, that are too dumb to stop fighting till we win.
Right.
you know, so that's exactly what we're going to keep doing, is we're going to keep fighting until we win. We've always had a lot more strategy than just the first case. You know, there's been a lot to do beyond that. But you got to understand that certain things take time. And there, you know, 1 minute of me having to watch my kids wear a mask. We just broke my mom out of nursing home jail, and I got to see her for the first time in almost 7 months.
Wow, that's disgusting.
7 months.
Right.
Because, you know, God knows we as a family shouldn't decide whether it's worth visiting. That should be Governor DeWine's decision. Much like Thanksgiving, right? I mean, he's the one who should decide whether we have a family Thanksgiving. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where this guy is coming from, but I can assure you, I will have as many people at my house as I want for Thanksgiving.
Amen.
If they don't want to come, they don't have to. But I can assure you, I am not asking permission. You know, that's just, it's just that simple. I'm just not. You know, we see these things. People are coming together. They've had enough of it. It's unbelievable. And we're fighting this. You know, we're getting ready. We're going to be filing some additional actions. I can't believe the amount of support we're getting nationally and internationally on our work. You know, I said this before when I've been on your show, and I say this pretty much everywhere I go. I'm just some guy from Fremont, Ohio. I'm nobody special.
But you're willing to, you know, you're willing to stand up and do the good fight. And, you know, Tom, you always state, and obviously I believe it, that you would not do anything unethical. You do everything by the ethics. But my problem with most attorneys are, I believe they're ethical, but they're weak ethical in the sense that they're an attorney, but sometimes I think they feel their loyalty is the bar, to the bar or the bar association or to the court. I know you have certain obligations, but when they're not my zealous advocates, I really get upset. My attorney needs to be my zealous advocate, not just an attorney pushing paper and trying to keep the court happy and the bar association happy. Obviously, you want to follow your ethical structures, follow them. But damn it, I want you to be my zealous advocate.
Yeah. Well, listen, so, I mean, let me explain. When I talk about ethics, let me explain how that works for me. I believe, first of all, I believe it should be an honor to be an attorney. Okay, it used to be that that was something that was an honorable thing, and if you were, you were fighting for justice, and maybe I'm naive, but you should be fighting for justice. That's what we should be doing, okay? Now, the ethical we have as attorneys under the rules of ethics are really important, and I value them, and I follow them to the absolute best of my ability, for sure. That said, ethics go beyond just I believe there's more. I'd like to think I hold myself to a higher standard. Now I fail. Nobody's perfect. I'd like to say I don't fail on my my bar ethics, but I do fail as a human being. So my professional ethics, those are what they are, and they're critical to me. But ethics are also to me, and not to get into philosophy, but it's ensconced in morality. You got to do what's right because it's right. I can do what's right and meet my minimum professional ethics, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can do what's right because it's the right thing to do, which is usually in a lot of cases going to go well beyond your professional ethics. Now, like I said, I'm a human. We all screw up a lot. And I'm sure there's been more than one case in my life where I've fallen short. I try and go above and beyond what's just the bare minimum requirement from the bar to be ethical. I think that's really important, and I think that's what we should all strive to do as attorneys.
Right, and our motto here at Monday Night Roundtable is good is not the enemy of perfect. So if you're good and you're doing your best, obviously we strive toward perfection, which we'll obviously never reach and attain. So being good, except Mr. Producer Derek, but outside of that, being good is not a bad thing. Being good is a good thing, and it's not the enemy of perfect, because that's the shining light on the hill that we strive toward. But we will never attain that. There's only been one perfect person who's ever lived on this earth. And,
you mean besides you?
Thanks, Steve. You get that quarter after the break. But Tom, before we get into some detailed questions on Governor DeWine and some of the things that he's not answering properly, tell us a little bit more about the court case that you filed. You've mentioned that you're looking to file some other court cases, which you can't talk about in great detail. You've mentioned that it'll be a surprise where that court case falls. And tell us about you working. You got a call from Germany, the German attorney who's working on some cases there in Europe. And feel free to, bounce around those three questions. What's been filed? What's going to be filed? What are you working with the German attorney on his cases or international cases, if you can?
Sure. So first question, the main case that a lot of people have heard about, that's in procedural la-la land right now. We're going back and forth. We filed our motions and our stuff. The state filed their motions. They're trying to avoid discovery at all costs. Naturally,
isn't that sad? And
just for our listeners, Tom, what is the actual case? What are you trying to do?
We're essentially saying that there's no emergency. Nobody's dying from this. There's more cases because they're doing more testing. The tests don't work. We just had data came out that the tests are anything over 35 cycles is running 97% false positives.
Wow.
And most of the tests in the United States are approved up to 40 cycles. I wonder why we'd see a spike in cases. I wonder why we'd see false positives. I wonder why we'd see the governor test positive before he tests negative. This isn't real complicated. We've got a whole bunch of stuff there. And basically what it's saying, oh, by the way, just a public service announcement for the listeners. Two studies came out here in the past week or two. One of them showed that surgical masks have essentially zero impact in terms of keeping you safe from this virus. That was, I believe, a Danish study. I could be wrong.
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
Another Denmark. Study came out, and I believe it was from New Zealand, Australia, and it showed that cloth masks actually increase your likelihood of infection. And it recommended against cloth masks because they can actually make you sicker quicker. So just FYI, when you're donning your masks, you actually may have a higher chance of getting COVID or some other disease because, according to this study. So, yeah, just keep that. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Good information.
So, you know, that case, discovery is where we get to truth. States trying to avoid that, which, you know, again, I don't know what they're afraid of. You know, share the information, right?
Right. If they're following the science,
all you got to do is share it and then they go away.
I remember the lawsuit in the spring that was required to show the age spectrum on the death rate. Acton fought that when, surprise, surprise, what was it, 80%? Of COVID deaths were in nursing homes, assisted living centers.
Right.
You know, the most vulnerable at-risk population.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just the numbers are yeah. And by the way, since I don't know when, but basically we're not seeing anybody dying from this. It's got a 99.996 recovery rate. And if you're that vulnerable population that they keep talking about, recovery rate still in the 94-95% ballpark. I mean, I don't know what we're talking about here. This is not a dangerous disease. But here's what they're doing, right? So before we get the people calling in, oh my gosh, but I know someone who died. I know someone who's in the hospital right now with it. Okay, let me tell you what's happening. You get sick. They're not tracking the flu this year. Did you know the CDC quit tracking the flu?
Right.
Yeah, they quit tracking the flu. So you get sick, right? They've got this set up where you can be diagnosed with COVID even without a test. And even if you get a test, if the test is not ran properly, it's going to give you a false positive. So even Dr. Fauci himself came out and said that. So you go in, you're sick. The hospitals get an extra 20% for a COVID diagnosis. So it doesn't matter what you get. The symptoms that they've put out there that they call COVID, those symptoms cover pretty much anything from a cold to a flu to side effects from high blood pressure medicine. I mean, this is absolutely, so you go to the hospital, it doesn't matter what you go for. You have a good chance of being a COVID person. If you're coughing, if anything you're doing has anything to do with coughing or anything like that, you're going to be called a COVID case. And they're going to get an extra 20%. And so, yeah, there's people in the hospital, but there's people in the hospital every year from the flu. So my question is for those people that you're telling me that are in there, did they get tested for the flu? Did they get tested for other diseases? And by the way, here's another dirty little secret that I found out. Because hospitals are doing this, what's happening is there's actually a number of people who are dying from unrelated diseases because they're just saying, oh, you've got COVID, and they're not checking for other things. I had someone that not too long ago who said, you know, my family member, has COVID, and it's been hanging around for months. I said, well, okay, let me talk to my doctors because I got all these different doctors working with me. They said, you need to tell this person to get to the doctor and have them check for this, this, and this. And that's what it was. It was something totally unrelated, but it's 20% extra. So we just call everything COVID now. And it's actually, we're waiting for some studies on this, but it seems like this may actually be killing some people because they're just calling everything COVID.
Right. So one size fits all, and obviously that's really bad medicine. That's bad anything, bad law, bad accounting, bad engineering. So it's just despicable. And, you know, I'm a CPA, so just out of curiosity, and I don't know if you could answer this or not, when you say the hospitals get 20% more, does that mean they can bill the insurance company more? Or if you're on Medicare or Medicaid, you can bill Medicare or Medicaid 20% more? Would that pretty much be the way it works?
Medicare, under the CARES Act, Medicare is a 20% additional reimbursement rate for COVID. It depends on, as far as insurance, you know, that varies per insurance, you know, how they deal with it. And as far as, you know, Medicaid, I don't know Medicaid off the top of my head. But basically, there's a lot of financial incentive. And by the way, remember, there's more than one way that a hospital makes money off of a COVID case.
Okay.
Has been my explanation. And it's something that's kind of getting into the weeds to go through. But the money's funneling through in a lot of ways. And they're buying the hospital silence, the big hospitals anyways. The independent doctors and the independent hospitals, you know, a lot of them are speaking out. And a lot of times we're seeing doctors that actually work for the big hospital systems that are either losing their jobs or getting in trouble because they want to speak out because it's unethical what's going on.
Right.
But, you know, if you want to keep your job and you want to work in the big hospital, you keep your mouth shut, keep your head down, and you tote the line.
You mean they're selling out their medical ethics for an extra few dollars? Of course, 20% in all these, quote, cases, that adds probably up to a substantial amount of money. Be my guess.
Sure, and that goes back.
I'm not going to.
That goes to the shareholders.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can't publicly make a specific accusation of someone, you know.
Oh, I'm not asking you. We'll make it. We'll make it here on the radio. But, Tom, you know, by the way, our special guest is Tom Rentz, who's filing some lawsuits to get some information from Governor DeWine. This is Monday Night Roundtable. If you have any questions for Tom Rentz, 888-677-9673. Now, Tom, again, I know you're going to file some other lawsuits, which you can't talk about, but give us some information about the German attorney that has contacted you and what's he doing and how you guys are working together on the international level to fight some of this misinformation, disinformation, as well as the hiding of the detailed information from the general public.
Yeah, so German attorney is Rainer Fulmeck, and he's a brilliant and a wonderful man. Really like this guy. He and I have been communicating for, I don't know, a few while now. And, you know, we've been, but, you know, he's just a nice guy, to be honest. So we just kind of, we've been chattering back and forth and sharing thoughts and ideas. And, you know, we decided that we were going to kind of come out and publicly agree to share with people that we're working together. Working together is, you know, it varies. It depends on what we're working on, but we're supporting each other. We're sharing science, sharing data, sharing information. You know, we're discussing ideas. And this is really important because one of the things that we're trying to do is we really want to unite this movement. The free and it's not about names, right? I don't care who's running it, but here's the thing. We're stronger unified. And so we need to unite the free people of this world in saying this is enough. This tyranny is not acceptable. We're not going to tolerate it, and we're going to fight it. And so, you know, Reiner and I talked about that. And, you know, we decided that, you know, we're talking, doing things anyways. We said, you know, let's make it public because we want people to understand we're coming together. We, the free people of this world, are coming together. We're not going to accept this. It's not going to be tolerable. There is no new normal. The new normal is the old normal because it's now been so long since we had normal, it'll be new again. But we're getting back to that. Because this unconstitutional nonsense is going to stop. Now, the question is going to be where it stops first, but I know it's going to stop. I mean, we're fighting it all over. Reiner is getting ready. I don't know whether he filed or is getting ready to file something here in Germany. It's pretty close either way. We're getting ready to file several more things here in the United States. Yeah, we're willing to work with anybody. It's not about my name or anybody else's name. We if you're in this, it's, you know, we support you. The only thing I will say though is, you know, we're limited just because there's 24 hours in a day and we're just regular people. I don't have a huge firm with, you know, hundreds of staffers that I can delegate to. So, you know, I mean, we're limited by time. We can't obviously help every single person with every case and every idea that they have, but we're doing our very best to do as much of it as possible. I mean, you know, I thousands of emails a day. My phone never stops ringing. It just, you know, it's around the clock, but we're doing our best to try and help and talk to everybody that we can. And basically, it's kind of one of those things where we're looking at this like, where can we cause the biggest impact? Where can we create the biggest impact that's going to help the most people? And that's kind of how we look at it. So.
Are you harmonizing or working with the 1851 Center, or are they just taking these different cases? I know they took the case of the woman that was led out of the stadium in from her son's football game or nephew's football game in handcuffs, and she was tasered. Are you bouncing ideas back and forth, or they sort of have their working more on the, let's say, the details, the individual cases, and you're working on the big picture? Do you consult with can't remember the gentleman's name at the 1851 Foundation.
Maurice Thompson.
Yeah, Maurice Thompson.
And so we're not working with them. I mean, I'm glad that they took the case for that lady. I hope they do well with it, and I frankly hope that that lady owns the town when she's done. You know, I mean, that's one of the most egregious things I've ever seen. No, we're not because I have any problems with them. I don't really know them, frankly. Yeah, I'm sure that they're good people. And like I said, anybody on our side, I'm a fan of.
Yeah, I believe they're the ones that won the case out in Lake County. There are some cases that are, of course, being appealed by Governor DeWine when they worked on the case regarding, I think, restaurants and health spas and different things. And the judge, you know,
yeah,
did.
Well, I've looked at some of the cases from them, and, you know, I mean, they're challenging these different orders on behalf of their clients. And I, you know, like I said, if you're fighting this fight, I don't, you know, good. We're taking a different approach. Like I said, we're definitely going kind of bigger picture. But I wish them all the best. I don't know everything they've done. Maybe they're doing some stuff like that. We need more people that are doing it and doing it well. You know, that's a big deal. And, you know, I know they've had some local victories and stuff like that, and good.
Yeah. And I think good. The problem with their cases is that they're so tailored individually and on a specific, edict or version that if the court ultimately rules against Governor DeWine, it says, okay, we won't do this edict or we won't do this punishment or this lockdown. We'll just, instead of doing ABC, we'll do XYZ. Whereas I think your approach is more attacking the foundational structure of the lack of transparency and the lack of, you know, I'd say good faith on the governor's part.
Yeah, that's so. And like I said, I don't know everything they've done, and I'm not going to say anything bad about anybody that's on our side. But yeah, you know, I know that they've taken some, you know, you challenge this order, you challenge that order. And the way I characterize it is if you challenge one order, it's like cutting the head off a hydra. It comes back with two more.
Right.
For my part, the critical thing that we got to do here is to challenge the premise, right? There's no emergency. You can't take emergency steps without an emergency, and there's real clear precedent on this, right?
Yes.
The Supreme Court has said if there's an emergency, you can challenge it. If the circumstances change, you can challenge that emergency, and anything that you did under that emergency should go away. It's been real clear, and you know, that comes from some cases that are still good law from the 20s and 30s, Depression era. And which is interesting because, you know, while you may think that's old, that's not as old as Jacobson, which is what they're using to try and do all this, which is actually from the early 1900s, even before then. So I believe 1904.
Is the Jacobson case an Ohio case, or is that a federal case that went to the Supreme Court?
Nope. That is the U.S. Supreme Court case, and I think it is the most overly used and misused case in probably maybe in American history. I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty broad statement, but Jacobson is a case, some guy back in early 1900s didn't want to get a smallpox vaccine, and the town charged him a $5 fine, and he appealed that all the way up to the Supreme Court, and they said, well, yeah, you can fine this guy for not not taking that vaccine. Somehow it went from the, and the court specifically said, you know, this doesn't mean that this should be everything, and we, you know, it needs to be open for judicial review and this, that, and other. Somehow we went from that to Jacobson allows you to tell people that they have to wear masks, shut down the country, and do this and do that, and do everything else. I mean, it's absurd what they've done on this.
Right? Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, isn't Governor DeWine hanging his hat on Ohio Revised Code? I believe that was passed in 1906, pertaining to emergencies that the legislature, emergency powers that the legislature gave him to handle these emergencies.
Well, you know, it's interesting because what DeWine's hanging his hat on is a little bit questionable and depends on which day you ask him and which order you ask him about. Yeah, at best, he's on shaky ground. But here's the thing. It ultimately doesn't really matter what he's hanging his hat on because the bottom line is there is no state law that trumps the U.S. Constitution. Correct. And the U.S. Constitution has been violated repeatedly. I mean, numerous times. And also, you know, we still have the right to challenge even a state law that's being used under an emergency declaration. That's Supreme Court precedent. It's just that simple. You know, particularly if that law has impacted constitutional rights. It couldn't be more clear. So, you know, I don't really know. If you're asking me to explain why DeWine's doing what he's doing, I don't know. That one I can't tell you. People keep saying, well, isn't that illegal? I think so. Well, why is he doing it? Well, I guess because he can, or at least he thinks he can. No one's put him in jail yet, and they haven't impeached him yet. So,
you know, Tom, Steve Krause here, and I really appreciate you coming on today and giving us some time so our listeners can get it firsthand from you. A couple of things that you had said last Thursday night, and I just want to circle back to that. When you were speaking with your partnering with the, and I believe his name's Reiner Holmack, the German.
Holmack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said something about crimes against humanity. And that was an angle that you were looking at. I'd like you to expand on that. And then the other thing is, what could our listeners do to help you? I mean, how could we get involved with helping you? Because you are just one man. You're not a great big law firm and stuff. I mean, other than getting involved themselves, but because my four-year-old granddaughter came to us over the weekend for visitation, and she has to wear a mask when she goes to preschool now. And this dirty, grimy, filthy cloth mask that was disgusting. I would have thrown it away, but because it was the only thing that her mother had given her, we decided to wash it. But it makes me sick that she has to wear this thing, and that this is because of our governor and his unconstitutional edicts. And oh, by the way, just to let you know, I have history with Governor DeWine. Governor DeWine does not care about the Ohio Constitution or anything that it says. And I actually have it in writing where he told me in some legal proceedings that I could share with you at another time that Ohio law or Ohio Revised Code trumps the Ohio Constitution. So when you start looking at Governor DeWine and legislators like that, what they're doing is, because they have been in the legislative body, because they're in the lawmaking process, they believe that the law is the supreme law of the land. And it's almost like they take an oath to that instead of an oath to the Constitution.
So their fealty is to the Ohio Revised Code.
That's correct. And that's why they get this. They're just really off track.
Fealties to their bank account.
Yeah, and to the bank account as well. But anyways, could you expand on that crimes against humanity?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that Reiner has talked about is, you know, this being crimes against humanity. And what he's talking about is the response to this, right? So we've got a germ out there. It's a real germ. It's killed some people, and if it kills one, it's too many, okay? I'm a big believer in the value of human life. I'm Catholic. I'm diehard. You know, I just human life is precious. But it's interesting because we've got this germ out there that's, you know, like I said, 99.996 recovery, right?
Right.
It's not killing people. But what's happened? The number one cause of death between 10 and 14-year-olds right now is suicide in Ohio.
Wow.
We see ODs. Domestic violence is up. Alcohol drug use is up. Preventable deaths are skyrocketing because people don't want to go to the doctor in case they get told they got COVID.
Mm.
We're seeing a public health crisis second to none. And the public health crisis isn't COVID. It's the response to it. And it's intentional. I've been told that maybe some of these guys running the show are so incompetent that they don't know some of this. Well, listen, at some point, if you're that dumb, you shouldn't be running the show. You should step down. What's happening is a public health crisis. And if you're allowing this to happen, that's absolutely unacceptable. But, you know, crimes against humanity in terms of as they've been defined in international law, which doesn't necessarily apply here in the States, unless there's a treaty that we've been become a part of.
Sure.
But the current crimes against humanity law defined in the International Criminal Court, which is not a part of the U.S. law, but it's an interesting thing, you know, defines it with in a number of ways. And they talk about the intentional mental and emotional abuse of a people as well. And I'm paraphrasing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it in front of me, but the abuse that the psychological abuse that they're doing to children, to families, and to just people, the elderly, and you can look at it from any of a number of ways, either lying about the danger of the disease, lying about the use of masks, lying about the fact that these cases are what they are. The case number is nowhere near what, I mean, they're just, it's garbage. They have no evidence to back it up. Lying and scaring people, or whether you look at it from the other side and say, the abuse that seniors are feeling when they can't say goodbye to their loved ones who are dying in a nursing home. You know, you can't say goodbye to your family. The abuse that a child feels when they feel isolated and feel, you know, locked away from their friends. They can't go to school. A kid who can't go to the only safe thing that he knows because he's an urban inner city kid, you know, and the only safe spot he's got is school. Now he's locked out of it over a disease that's not even dangerous to kids. We've not had one child under 19 years of age die in Ohio from this. So the crimes against humanity thing is a really interesting academic argument. And it's not something that we can really charge with here in the United States. But, you know, I would certainly say that if we were a participant in the International Criminal Court, that a number of our governors would be guilty of crimes against humanity and probably, you know, charged under international criminal law.
Right now,
I find it one thing really interesting about that is if you remember the great outcry from the left when George Bush was doing the Iraq war, that he's breaking international law, breaking this law, he's an international criminal. Well, we have people who are legitimately breaking international law right now, and I haven't heard a peep about it.
Mm. Yeah, it's amazing. And also, again, obviously German law and the German Constitution is way different than ours. So the German lawyer, he will be filing his lawsuit based upon crimes against humanity, or he will be filing it in Germany under whatever provisions of German law, or will he be filing it in The Hague? And I believe Germany is probably a party to the World Criminal Court. Do you have any idea where he's going to file and specifically what he's going to file? Or you can't talk
well,
about it?
I do, but I can't share some of
okay.
it. I would give that to him to talk about. What I will tell you is he's licensed in the United States as well, by the way.
Oh, really?
That's part of the reason that he's become so well known, because he's truly a remarkable guy, just a good guy. So, But yeah, I want to say he's licensed in California. I could have that wrong, but I believe he's licensed in both California and Germany.
Well, maybe he could sit down with Gavin Newsom at some fancy French restaurant without masks and discuss this and hash it out and see what Governor Newsom's take is on all this. But
he can sit right next to him too.
Hey, Tom, we're coming up on the 8:45 point that you indicated that you graciously will hold with us. Our special guest has been Tom Rentz from Rentz Law Firm. And is that your I don't want necessarily people contacting you. My bigger question would be, how can people support you? Who would they contact? I know you're working, or one of the plaintiffs in the case is Steve, which group is that?
Well, it's not Free Ohio now.
It's the other one.
Ohio Stands Up.
Ohio Stands Up, right. Would people contact them if they want to help you financially or help them financially? So that's ohiostandsup.org, but we'll get that information before the end of the hour. Tom, before Thanksgiving here, give us some hope and some thanks, and give us a little 30-second closing, and we do want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving with you and your family. We're happy you're able to get together with your mother. So it's such a blessed time of the year that it's critical that we are able to communicate with our loved ones. So, Tom, if you could give us a few parting words of hope and Thanksgiving before we let you go.
And I'd be happy to do that. And if you don't mind, I actually want to share with you one story that I got a boot out of. And I want your listeners to hear that. If you don't mind giving an extra couple minutes.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so this is something that bothers me a lot. Right now we get these small businesses that are getting killed. They're getting shut down. They're getting, DeWine says three strikes and you're out, right? And these small businesses, they can't afford to fight this. So I want to tell you a little story that I heard. There were a group of people that were mad, and I'm not endorsing this, but I'm just telling you the story because I found it to be very ironic. There's a group of people who decided that they wanted to essentially protest this whole mask nonsense. So they went into a Walmart without a mask, and they wandered around, did whatever. The health department got called. And they did this for 3 or 4 days in a row. So the health department got called the first 2 days, right? And remember, three strikes and you shut down the store. Shockingly, the third, fourth day, and I don't know if they're still doing it or what happened after that, but the health department never showed up. Now, they never shut down Walmart. Can you tell me why it is that they shut down? They're willing to shut down these small businesses, but not Walmart. I wonder why.
Right.
Walmart can afford the attorneys.
Yeah, Tom, interesting enough, I think I had a conversation with that gentleman last evening. I'll be honest, I don't remember his name. He called called us in the context of, just giving us information. But, yeah, it's interesting. He said, yeah, they didn't shut down Walmart. And this three strikes rule and, shutting down for 24 hours, it's bogus and hokey in my book. Because even if you're wearing a mask, number one, you're not wearing gloves. So God knows what's on your hands. And if you touch something and somebody else touches it and then they take off their mask and pick at their face, pick at their nose, touch their eyes, it's just this whole thing is just malarkey in my book. I'm sorry. Sound like Joe Biden, it's just not effective. Hey, Tom,
don't stop anything anyway. Thank you so much. Hey, yeah, support Ohio Stands Up, Make Americans Free Again is Pam Popper's organization. They're helping me on the national level, but those two organizations are the groups I'm working with.
Hey, Tom, real quick, if you could also hold on the line, Mr. Producer had a couple calls for you that people want to talk to you. You could either take the number and speak to them. I don't know if you know them or not, but if you could just hold on the line and, talk to Mr. Producer for a minute. Hey, our special guest was Tom Rentz. Hey, Tom, we want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. You've given us great insight. We're hoping to talk to you after the new year because I'm certain by then there's going to be a lot of things going on. I think you mentioned the discovery and your case will be looked at, and some of the motions will be ruled on probably by the end of January 2021.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. People keep calling your county commissioners, calling your state reps. Call. Stand up. Do something.
Great.
Thanks, Tom.
Great.
God bless and have a happy Thanksgiving.
All right.
You and yours,
Tom. Thank you, both you guys.
Great. Thank you. That was Tom Brents, attorney, who's been working on filing some different lawsuits against Governor DeWine at the federal level, looking at challenging the premise of emergencies. There are none, and Governor DeWine's orders are given out under the emergency that he says we have.
Correct. And that organization, if you want to financially support him, if you want to do something, go to OhioStandsUp.org. That's OhioStandsUp.org. And you can donate there, and that money goes directly to helping Tom with this ongoing litigation.
Right. OhioStandsUp.org is one of the plaintiffs. There's 10 plaintiffs.
Right.
In their number one, probably in their individual capacity, because I don't think the organization would have standing in the state of Ohio. It's probably better to do it individually. So we do know several of the people. There's 10 people who do have standing in the case who are plaintiffs. And we're looking for some good things after January 1st into next year. We're looking at the German case. Tom has indicated they're going to file another case in another state that he said is going to be a surprise which state. And he believes that there's also a legislature and a governor who are on board, and they're going to pass some legislation that will pretty much be a shot heard around the world, because it's going to be so freedom-oriented, liberty-oriented, and taking the powers that be to task.
Liberty. What a great concept.
Oh, that's ridiculous, Steve. Man, who ever heard of such a thing?
But George Washington.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of liberty and good things, we obviously are coming up on Thanksgiving, which the original first Thanksgiving was the Pilgrims, who landed at Plymouth Rock. And they passed the Mayflower Compact 400 years ago this week. And it's interesting what they have to say. They weren't too thrilled with King James, because the Pilgrims came to America to get away from King James and the Church of England, and they subscribed to something called the Geneva Bible. And we had one of our guests talk about that. It was sort of interesting. I looked it up. But they talk about having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith in honor of our king and country a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one of another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue hereof to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitution, and offices from time to time as shall be thought that are needed and convenient for the general good of the county, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience, a witness whereof we have and hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the year of the Sovereign Lord King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, 1620. So that was 400 years ago, and it's amazing. We were at a speech this summer, probably in July, given by the representatives of the Pilgrim Society, and he had talked about these pilgrims were so attuned to fairness and justice that as they moved inland, they took land, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
They took land. They compensated the Indians. They asked permission. They tried to take areas that were, you know, sort of like no man's land. But, you know, they did ask permission. They did compensate them if it was, quote, owned by somebody. Again, you know, ownership back then was a little bit more differently delineated than it is today with, you know, property lines and surveys. And Don, your favorite,
county registers office.
And your favorite called real estate taxes. So, but again, they were very fair. They got along and, you know, they were very humble, and they tried to establish a orderly form of government, because let's face it, when you start getting 100, 200 people, you have to establish something. And obviously, people kept coming and coming and coming. So having a structure in place is pretty important.
Sure.
Like even in our show with three people, we have a structure. We bounce around ideas. We have an orderly, you know, transition of questions. And so it's and, you know, Derek does his own thing behind the glass. So we just leave him out. We just treat him as some wayward pilgrim.
Well, I just think, you know, George, and going into the last couple minutes here, you know, it's good to just remind the viewers, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but President George Washington, it's interesting to hear what he had to say about Thanksgiving with this Thanksgiving Proclamation of 3 October of 1789.
And see, Steve, we think alike because I was going to ask you to look that up because I forgot to print it out and I can't pull it up on my phone.
I've got it right here.
All right.
This is by George Washington,
yes,
President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the benefit author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. And it goes on from there, but I think you get the gist.
Right. Yeah, giving thanks to an almighty creator who gives us all good things that come from.
And that's why we have Thanksgiving.
Right. Well, that was the Thanksgiving Day Proclamation. I think that was based upon, again, the Pilgrims originally, but I don't think Thanksgiving actually became a legal holiday until Abraham Lincoln proclaimed it in the 1860s.
Well, he says here, now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November. But you're right, it may not have been a federal holiday then.
Right. And unfortunately, or fortunately, and again, at my office, you know, we take off Thursday, Friday, because we want to make it.
I thought you started last week.
Well, maybe my office did.
Maybe the office did. You haven't been by there lately.
That's why the billing's been down because they started Thanksgiving festivities last week. But no, I have a good crew at the office. We're going to have a little lunch on Wednesday. Steve and Don, you're welcome to join us. It's birthday celebrations for the people in the month of November. That's going to be on Wednesday. We're going to get out of
I know
the,
somebody has a birthday in the month of November.
I know. That's why it's a couple people in the office that have it. So we're going to have a birthday lunch and get out early on Wednesday, and hopefully people can start cooking, getting ready for Thanksgiving, celebrate Thursday, Friday, spend some time with the family, people hopefully be coming in from out of town, hopefully being able to get grandma out of the nursing home, and celebrate Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Well, wait a second.
Sneak her out through the emergency tunnel with Hogan and everyone else.
I thought Governor DeWine said cancel all of your Thanksgiving plans.
Huh? Who?
What? Yeah, Governor Dubosevic.
Right. Oh, okay, now I know what you're talking about.
Governor Wallace.
Right. Yeah, there's some great memes on the internet with Governor DeWine looking over the windowsill, or there's another great one where the SWAT team is banging down somebody's door saying, "We know you bought a turkey that feeds more than 8 people, so we're here to, you know, check on you people." It's absurd. It's ridiculous. But, you know, the thing that bothers me is Governor DeWine is having all this power assumed to himself, issuing all these edicts and orders, and he's doing it without any transparency. But, you know, if you had some reasonable facts and we need to shut down for 2 weeks, I'm all with it. But this dragging it out, lying, obfuscating, hiding thing, not being transparent. Oh, what are we, children? So, as somebody said, our elites, not only do they have contempt for us, but they hate us.
Absolutely.
So that's what we have to remember about the elites. There are elected representatives. We put them in office. They are not our overlords. They are not our overseers. And you have to remember, people, that not only do they have contempt for us, but they hate us. So, Steve, Don.
Us non-essential deplorables.
Happy Thanksgiving to anybody.
Happy Thanksgiving to Derek. You as well.
We'll be back next week. God bless. We're going to have some great things coming up, and hopefully we can fight this epidemic.